Welcome to Taz Special, your radio guide to thoroughbred racing this week in Tasmania.
And a very good morning, everybody. Colin McBiff with you to have a look at what's been happening racing in Tasmania. A little later on in the program, we'll preview the harness racing that's coming up from Hobart tonight with an eight-event program. Greg Mansfield, the racing writer from the Examiner newspaper, joins us each and every Sunday morning. How are you, Greg?
Good, thanks, Colin. Good morning to you and everybody else. And I suppose even though he didn't do any good yesterday, the Queen is still dominating our discussions.
Yeah, he's top of the agenda for sure and certain. He, of course, contested the Railway Stakes at Ascot in Perth. He led as you'd expect him to. He got a pretty comfortable lead from his nice barrier draw. But to my way, watching the race, he never really seemed to be travelling like the cleaner of old.
No, he did not. He never wanted to be on him, in my opinion, coming to the home turn. He was just being shaken up, but the horse sitting second, which had chased him all the way, was under a stranglehold and clearly had his measure. It was a credit to the horse that he fought on. He ran ninth. And he was only 3 lengths from the winner, so he wasn't disgraced. But look, there's been a lot of talk on social media about it, whether he should have been there, whether he shouldn't. Personally, I don't think he should have been, but that's just my opinion. The owners decided otherwise. The main thing now, I think, is that they bring him home and give him a decent spell.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what the plans are now, because having gone to Perth and kept him in work for an extra couple of weeks as to whether he can come back and contest some of the rich plums at the Tasmania Racing Carnival, such as the George Adams.
Well, it's making it more difficult, isn't it? Because we're nearly at the end of November, he'd need to have probably a month off at least. That's the end of December. Even if he had only 6 weeks' work into the George Adams, you'd probably think this might not be quite enough, but time will tell. He's just such a tough horse, you never really know what he's capable of.
Mick Bells is a very good man, but he was an easy favourite. There didn't seem to be a lot of confidence about him performing at his top yesterday.
No, he was very easy after being well supported in the weeks, couple of weeks leading up to the race. They just wanted to lay him yesterday. And I did listen to Mick Bells' interview on, it was played on both TVN and Sky Racing World before the race. And he just, to me, didn't have his usual ring of confidence about him. He was saying all the right things, but reading between the lines, I just think he wasn't overly confident.
Yeah, and you can understand the owners taking him across. You only get a chance at a million-dollar race, well, very rarely, I suppose, with a horse that is in form and racing particularly well. So they had that one opportunity to have a throw at the stump, so to speak, with their horse who was up and running, and they did that. I think it was an all-expenses-paid trip, wasn't it, for the cleaners?
I believe they were invited over there, and the easiest thing in the world in racing is to have the benefit of hindsight, and I think looking at the quality of the field yesterday, if they'd bypassed the Emirates and given him a month between the Cox Plate and yesterday's race, I think he would have won it, because there's no doubt that he does race best when he's had that 3 or 4 week break, but just having those two runs 2 weeks apart was just too much.
Anyway, he fought on well, didn't he? He looked absolutely good on the home turn, and to be beaten just 3 legs shows what a huge heart this horse does have.
Yeah, he finished in front of some pretty good horses. They back one off the map in a bit long odds called Mr. Moe, who was, I think, they said $21 into 8 or 9. Finished a couple of lengths in front of him, so yeah, it was his usual honest effort.
Of course, the race was taken out by the West Australians. Colours that you see go around in each and every race, practically, when you watch a race out of the West. Bob Peters in those pink and white sashes, and Willie Pike, who was such a very good jockey over there.
Certainly is, and it doesn't really matter whether you're looking at the Railway Stakes or the big sprint race, the Winterbottom. I reckon if you have a look at the stats, they went at 9 times out of 10, don't they, the locals, so it should be hard to beat on their home turf.
All right, we've had a couple of good meetings down here in Hobart and Launceston in the past week. Of course, last Sunday we raced in Hobart with the rail back in the true position. The Goodwood Handicap was the feature event of the afternoon, Greg, and Sniffity B showed to all and sundry it's not just a wet tracker.
No, it was very well backed. The partners obviously didn't think it was just a wet tracker because it started $4.30. They were second favourite, and quite simply, she just ran them off their legs, didn't she, over the 1100. Whether she can repeat that in Launceston in a couple of weeks' time over the 1200 in the Newmarket remains to be seen. But it was a pretty emphatic win.
It was a very emphatic win. The runner-up, Private Currency, is very good, as we know, lightly raced. It's a good galloper. Havana Stash finished 30th in Aida, was doing its best work at the finish. And GG's Black Flash, they're just a bit too nippy for him now. He ran 5th at this stage of his career. And interesting to see that it looks like John Lush was going to bypass the new and look for the longer 1,400 and 1,600 metre races for the Flash.
Well, that does seem a logical move, doesn't it? He was just beaten for speed in that race last weekend. The Newmarket is a speed test. Strangely enough, though, very, very few Newmarket winners lead all the way, and I've always thought that Jeanette a good 1,400 horse to win the Newmarket. Havana Stash in that race, the horse that ran third, did jar up, according to the trainer, Scott Button, so maybe pay to forgive that run. And of course, unfortunately, the horse that finished near the rear of the field, Inner Warrior, one of our better, most promising, bled for the second time, so that's the end of his racing career.
Yes, banned for life after a second bleed, so for connection, that's just horrible, isn't it? Because he was such a promising galloper, just a four-year-old. He won the horse of the Guineas last year, and he looked like he'd be able to mix it at the weight for age level this season.
He did. He ran a place in the George Adams, the race we were talking about for the cleaner just a moment ago, as a three-year-old, and he was clearly the best male three-year-old in the state last year. He got nutted on the line by Ian McCall for the three-year-old of the year award, but he was certainly the best of his sex, and I think they had some good plans for him. They were going to have a crack at the Newmarket, the Thomas Lyons over the Hobart Cup Carnival, so it's just really bad luck. Of course, horses that bleed twice can go to America, but I'd be surprised if the conditions follow that path.
Earlier in the day, we saw the two-year-old step out for the first time this season in Tasmania. No surprise that Barry Campbell trained the winner, but it was a bit of a surprise because it was not the favourite one from the Campbell camp.
Just goes to show that punters, and I put myself in that category as well, are very ordinary judges, because on trial form there wasn't a real lot between Barry's two runners, Specialist and Siorca. The fact that Brendan McCool chose to ride Siorca resulted in a ridiculous discrepancy in the betting. Siorca $2.50 and the winner, Specialist, $18.50 with Daniel Gantt on. And he was very keen to find the front, and once he did, the horse never looked like getting beaten. But the one I like out of the race was the runner-up, GG's Top Notch. I think he's going to be a pretty smart horse.
Yeah, hit the line beautifully, didn't it? It came off some really good trial form in Hobart too. GG's Top Notch is certainly a horse to follow. When hindsight's a wonderful thing, but how often do we say that Barry Campbell's a specialist of two-year-old trainers, two-year-old horses?
Well, we say it often, and he certainly is, and he only had two runners, so he could easily affect them both and shown a very nice little
And the winner called Specialist. Earlier in the day, Cheyenne won. We saw Bella Venus win too. I thought it was it showed a nice turn of foot.
Yeah, Joe O'Neill and the Prime Thoroughbreds own this horse, and they've got a pretty fair opinion of her, so I think she'll be heading towards some of the better races.
Gonanali was expected to run well in that particular race. It shared the lead up for the home turn, but there were excuses. It did pull up lame.
Yeah, pulled up mildly lame, according to the Stewart's report. Went round at $2.30. We'll keep for another day, I think.
Valiant Warrior kept its unbeaten record intact. It looks a nice type.
Nice horse. Got home by a length over Just Call Me Fred, who's had won his only two previous starts. I think even though that was a small field, it was a handy little lineup, and Valiant Warrior is a horse with a lot of potential.
We saw Hugo go round in the fifth event of the day. It was backed as if unbeatable, wasn't it? They just keep wanting to back this from about $2.30 into $1.70 at the end, and it won.
Well, Mooku rode it, and he rode it like it was the best horse in the race, and it was. Got home just over a length and a half over Arcard Dash and won the youth throughout last Sunday morning. It was a nice Quinella, actually. It was a McShane Quinella. Then claimed the winner. Wilder claimed the runner-up, and it's not far off a win also, Arcard Dash.
And in the best finish of the day, we saw Ship Spotting beat GG's Velvet and JB's GG. That was a ripping finish with the three of them hitting the line together.
It was, and Angela Blakey's got her horses absolutely flying, winning with nearly everything in the stable, and a lot of them getting up at good odds. This one was a $20 chance, and I don't think there was any fluke about it. I think probably the reason it was such a long price was that people thought it might be just in need of one more run, but it wasn't. GG's Velvet is a super honest mare. A couple of excuses in that race. The producer, who was well backed, just caught wide all the way. Forget he went round, and I noticed in the Stewart's report he cast a plate. Sometimes it doesn't mean anything at all, sometimes it might. And Got a Dream, who was disappointing. Surprisingly, Adam Trinder, the trainer, told Stewart after the race that he's going to be retired.
It was ran a really good race in Launceston the previous start when it was back and hit the line at K, but was that running second last weekend, which was a bit of a surprise.
It was, and the fact that it did run well two starts ago and then it's just failed the once, and Adam has made that comment, suggests that maybe it's got problems that we're not aware of, because it did run second in the Devonport Cup earlier in the year. So normally you wouldn't sack a horse on one bad run, but Adam probably knows more than we do.
Spinning Jenny was held up, ran on okay. We saw was mentioned the 70 B's very good win, and the horses that contested the good win. Cole's Hero showed he's going to be above average with a good strong performance to win, and win quite convincingly in the last.
He did. It probably wasn't the strongest race of the day, but look, he just bolted in, didn't he? He was 8 or 10 wide on the home turn. I thought this right next to his name, super impressive. He won by 2.5 lengths. The runner-up, Our Lucky Girl, finds it hard to win, but she always races well when Ziggy Carr is on foot, and she did again. And just in passing, Ziggy Carr rode a double at Northfield, so she's in good form. An unlucky runner in this race was Porous, top weight. He finished 7th, got back, had no luck at all, and even though he was 7 lengths from the winner, by the time they were about 50 or 80 metres past the post, he was alongside the winner, so I'd mark him down.
He just ran into a brick wall, didn't he, at about the 150, 200 metre mark, and that just took all the momentum, and he just virtually jog-trotted to the line with no real clear opportunity to stretch out, and as I say, he did once they'd passed the post.
He did, and I know that the connections were a little bit surprised to see him back where he was in the run. Maybe there was a reason for that, because normally he races up on the pace, but I think just a total forgive run, he looks a pretty promising horse.
Who's your horse or two to follow from the Hobart meeting?
I thought there were a stack of them to follow, because really, Century Duty in the first run, absolutely no luck. It was held up a couple of times in that race run by Cheyenne. GD's Top Notch, which you already touched on, the producer was unlucky. Anastasia, I think, can improve. Cole's Hero, Porous. So all of those I'll be following.
Yep, sure. And Century Duty, was trying to run up on the inside and eventually had to go about 5 wide to get around their heels, didn't
it? Yeah, well, the 400 and the 200, and as you said, the race was over by the time it got out.
We raced in Launceston on Wednesday night. We had 8 races, and just 4 jockeys won those 8 races. We had doubles to Sherry Barr, Brenda McCool, Georgie Catania, and Ismail Toker. And Brenda McCool got the ball rolling. He rode the first 2 winners, Final RG and Rosie Rue.
Yeah, Brendan was a bit kinder to the punters than Cherie Barr, and good luck to her. That was her first ever double, but they started at 100-1 and 14 or 15-1, so that's something to remember, isn't it? But Final RG was well tried in the first, started favourite, was working up to a win. Leon Wells, her trainer, said after the race, that surprisingly being trained on the synthetic, she just doesn't seem to race well down there, and she had been disappointing early in this preparation, but since she's got on the grass track, she's been racing well. Gigi Snow, who ran third jarred up and required treatment after the race. A couple to follow from it. I thought Fairly French was pretty good because it was ridden very aggressively to sit outside the leader. From what I've seen, a Fairly French, it races better when it's allowed to get run on, so I'll give it another chance. I just like the way Evil Intent worked home, Northford 1400, but wait to 18 or 2100, it'll be winning again.
Yeah, just wrote a little note alongside Evil Intent, looking for 1600 plus.
Yep, definitely.
Race 2, Rosie Rue made it 2 in a row, and looks like a nice type of horse in the making here for Helen Patterson.
Nice horse. Helen doesn't train horses that can't run. This one can run. Don't know where she's heading for him in the short-term future, but 12 months down the track, he might be running in some of the better races. This race was probably influenced a little bit by the start, where 4 horses actually missed the start by a length or so, and one of them, Zigold, which got up and ran 4th, had been backed off the map. I believe the support for that, it was what they bet, but it ended up at $1.80.
Yeah, it was back to this unbeatable, but it wasn't a bad run by Zygo, but the 4 that we expected to run in the first 4 all did, perhaps not in the order the punters thought. He's Apples, everybody on course wanted to take you He's Apples off the back of a strong Longford trial that took the 3rd.
Yes, those people who were watching the corporate said there was just unlimited money for it in the last 10 or 15 minutes of betting. Started $2.50. One like the good horse that John Blacker says it is, and he also says in 12 months' time we'll be running in the better class races. Couldn't help but like the run of the runner-up, though. Metador, who got well back nearly last, ran on strongly, only got beaten 3/4 of a length. And My Grey Horse, who had failed badly at his previous start after winning a maiden, he was back on song because he got beaten less than a length and he was never on the track. So some good runs in that race.
The 4th event and our perennial bridesmaid Flying Stevie, well, what do you do? 2nd again and beaten by a horse having its first start, who was at the odds of $109. Brendan McCool, I just think, with a 10 out of 10 ride on Flying Stevie, he could have not have done anything else. This horse has now run second. What is it, seven times in a row?
Seven times in a row, six times beaten in a photo. Brendan said, quite bluntly after the race, I give up, I can't do any more.
Mm.
He's tried to ride it every possible way that you can, quietly, up front. I've used the whip, I've put the whip away and not used it. He just won't go to the line, but he was a bit stiff, I suppose, again, because all wrapped up, having its first start for Ken and Tanya Hansen, was really never on the track. It was always a bit wide and raced greenly, but just swooped past him in the last little bit. So John said that he'll be back on Wednesday night and he'll have another crack.
I reckon All Wrapped Up could be a Derby horse, and he does look like just a horse that's got a lot to learn, but loads of potential. It was a very impressive performance.
Summed up very nicely, yeah. He looks like a horse that will get further. Irish Jack was quite a big kick in that race. In fact, he was the only one back to beat from Derby. Started 3:30, put it at every possible chance, but it wasn't too far away. And there was a $131 chance, ran fourth in this race, called Livia's Light, one of the John Blackett team. Got checked at the 150, should definitely have run a place.
Mm. And for those who are smart enough, the exact of it, Flying Stevie second, if you took the field, paid $271.
Well, if you were smart enough, you could have just had $5 every runner. Except Flying Stevie. It's been a nice profit as well.
Tycoon Gypsy, it's a nice type. A three-year-old lightly raced. It broke its duck in race five.
Yeah, brought up a double for Georgie Titania. Won well. Had been certainly threatening to, hadn't it? Its foot lead-up form was good. Dance Through France, the runner-up, certainly not far off a win. Dance Through France's stablemate, Sabre Jet, ran fifth. It was well in the betting. Raced greenly and couldn't really get in. It was walking for most of the way. So I think it's worth following as well.
We saw the 2100-metre race, very weak affair, to be perfectly honest. Our winner was set out the $1.70 favourite and won like it should have.
Well, Johnny Luttrell is always confident about his horses, and he did say that it would have to fall over not to win our winner. He would have been extremely disappointed if it didn't get the money. Look, it bolted in, didn't it? This Mark Taker was so confident, he took it to the front a long way from home. Won by more than three lengths. Couldn't really find any excuses for anything behind it.
Mm. Ismail will make it a race double with Streetwise Sapphire winning for Scotty Brunton in race seven.
He's a nice horse, Streetwise Sapphire, and he won quite well. He not a length at the finish, but it's always hard to get past Bengala's Gigi when he gets a soft lead. It would have given Cherie Barr a treble if he'd got the money. Second dozen was a fairly distant third. Landstar, a stayer, resuming from a little let-up, was probably the unlucky runner. Copped a check, about 150 out. Kim Moore, who rode Crystal Reef, has got two meetings over that interference, but he'll improve Landstar.
And the last we saw was Sherry Maker, that double for the night with Moonless sailing down the outside to get up and win, but a couple of hard luck stories in the last of the night.
There certainly were. Moonless just got there from Dollar Dan, who poked through in the middle. It's only about a head or so between those two. Less than three quarters, only about a half a length behind. The winner was O'Reilly's Gigi, who was three wide for the entire trip. And back towards the rear is a horse that we've mentioned nearly every week for the last month, Al Mahar. He just has no luck. He's been racing three wide, race after race, and he went one better on Wednesday night. He raced four wide.
As soon as he draws a barrier, he's had the outside gate a few times recently, but when he gets the gate, he'll be hard to beat. But, yeah, right, it's Gigi. It's the horse to follow out of that race.
Well, it is. I marked 3-5 from the meeting, and that was one of them, Riley's Gigi. The other one was Aventador, and the third one was Evil Intent, which we agree on.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with all those, and I think All Wrapped Up is going to be a horse to follow. He won't be $100 next time he steps out, and Streetwise Sapphire was very strong to the line, and he looks set to win more races this campaign. That's our quick look at the meetings thoroughbred-wise. In a moment, we'll come back and tell you what's been happening in harness racing.